Thank you guys for sticking around and staying. Just last weekend, I announced that you got a letter and an email, and so we tried to use every means possible. So we wanted to put a billboard up, but that didn't work out. That after 37 years here, I'm not getting younger, and I'm going to be retiring at the end of this year, towards the end of this year, and so. It's as hard as that is to announce and to talk about, it's just a reality that I'm not perpetual here. And every healthy church is in transition all the time. It should be, and that's a good thing. And we change songs, we change buildings, we change programming, we change staff. And ultimately, we're going to going through a lead pastor change, and that would be me, and that would be my time on this one. And again, it's hard because you're probably the most loving church family I can imagine, and the most flexible. We've tried some stuff here that has been a lot of fun and a lot of good, and some of it's worked great, and some of it hasn't. But you've been patient with that as well, and so I can't imagine a better experience that I could have had going into ministry than this one. And so, that's kind of the situation, and that's where we're at. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of machinery that's going to be having to happen behind the scenes, and some upfront stuff as well that the church is going to be having to go through and going through. And there's teams and there's people that are already involved and already plugged in. And so we're going to be kind of moving forward with that as well. So it has started, the process has started. Last Sunday, during right before the announcement at the second service, if you were here, everyone was worshiping, and it was a great time. And I was standing right there because we were singing, and I saw you all singing. And it's the thing I love the most, is to see people that I love and that we've been part of having come worship. I wanted to just go to Mark. Okay, I'm not going to make the announcement. But then I thought, well, I've already announced it in the first service, and there's 300 letters that are going out in the mail right now as we speak, and so I had no choice on this one, but I didn't want to do it, but I did it anyway. But this is your time now to ask questions. I'm going to say this is not a time to if you can, not to say. This sounds really weird. I don't know how to do this one. Not to say how much you're going to miss me or anything like, or a testimony of what this church has done in your life. As appreciated as those are, and that's just going to make it harder for me. So don't do that, okay? And there will be time. There will be the statue that I'm asking to be erected out front for that. But not now. Not now is not the time on all of that. So please. So we can kind of get on with our day. But these are questions that you might have or need to hear about. And if not, I can talk a bit more about what the process is. But questions that somebody has. And just raise your hand and Brenna will get to you. So hang on. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Melissa. We do have an official process. Kind of, it's written in our bylaws and our constitution for situations like this. Her question was, I'm supposed to. What is the process? Do we have? And here it goes. We have put together a search team, made up of steering team members, and we're asking some of the congregation to be part of it as well. And step one is going to be kind of looking at the ideal candidate. What does the ideal candidate look like? And so having identified that, I'm going to have input into that because I do know this place pretty well. And not that I'm going to say they have to have, A through Z, but they need to have, for instance, they need to be somewhat flexible to the co-side mentality. This is a very kind of a wild, and so that's going to be an important part of it. So part of it's going to be, and we have Karen and Jason and Scott and Brent are part of the team as well. We have to really clarify our culture as a church. Who are we as a church? And we are very different than many, 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 many churches all over the place. A pastor from another church may not fit well here, and so they need to understand the culture they're getting into. You know, casual, informal, this and this and this and this. Identifying that, the ideal candidate is this, and then there are processes of getting the word out, and our association that we're part of, Venture Churches, is going to help us do that. We'll also be posting in other areas as well. The resumes are going to come in, and now those of you that are in HR kind of know the whole process on that. Resumes are coming in, screening's going to happen, you know, going to be happening. Then we'll be beginning to take the top candidates and having them come on out for face-to-face visits. This stuff will be behind the scenes, okay? Now, some of you may begin to get incorporated at this point in time when they come out, just because we want to see how they interact with you, you know. If they don't interact with you very well, you know, that's not good, you know. And so we'll be asking some of you, some will be formal, some will be informal in the interviews, and I might ask some of you, go play golf with this guy, you know, just because I don't play golf very well, but, you know, how do they do? Not how good were they, but how'd they do? And then eventually, as we narrow it down even farther, we might ask them to do speaking. You know, they might speak up front. And then ultimately, when we've narrowed it down even to one, and there's going to be a lot of prayer behind this as well, we'll have them maybe speak again and then have a Q&A and, you know, like this, and then congregational vote, and then ultimately they'll come on in. So I think you were next, yeah.
I'm Paul, my name is Ron.
Yeah.
I was a former businessman who got married 3.5 years ago to my wife, Sandy.
Yeah.
And I moved to Hampton Bay and left behind friends and family. And where I live in the senior center, God bless the women, but it's like 100 women to one man. And I would like to meet more men. And so I'm interested in the men's club.
Okay.
I hear there was something at 6 a.m. in the morning. I guess I can handle that, but
you're an old man. You get up early all the time. So, yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, Ron. Yeah, we do have men's ministries and life groups now. This is one of the things, and again, I'm gonna tell you honestly, these are some of the things that I can't do anymore. And when I tell you that, it's like, why not? How hard is it? It's a lot harder than you think. And when I first got here at 30, you know, I was starting life groups and men's ministries and women's ministries and kids' ministries and this and this. And this. You just do them because you have the energy and the intention and all that. Things got complicated, in my life. I just don't have the energy. I don't have the bandwidth for that kind of stuff now. And this is one of the reasons why, while I have some drive and some energy left in a whole bunch of different areas, there are things that are not happening that have to be happening for a healthy church to thrive. There's a word, to thrive even more. And that's kind of some of the reasons, the motivation. I don't necessarily want to go, but I kind of need to. And we're just not financially at the place where we could have hiring a bunch of people that could kick that stuff in so I could narrow my focus on what I do. Does that all make sense? Does that make sense to you guys? Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Jeff.
Push a button.
It's on.
Yeah. So these drivers of the search.
Yeah.
The drivers in concert with you actually define what the culture of our church is? And if they haven't, when will that happen?
Yeah, again, Karen, can I refer to you just on this one? Karen, she consults with everybody in the world on corporate culture and what it is, and she has helped me define corporate culture and helped our steering team and our church actually define who we are. She, if you want to talk to her afterwards, Karen's right over there. She will be great at it, and she's going to reinvent. Yeah.
Hello. Okay. For those of you that have been around for a few years, we've actually been very intentional about understanding the culture and the experience of Mariner. So if you go back, there was a vision team that was put together before interviewed. We had groups that talked about what made Mariner sick. We had an all-church survey. So even going back then, we were very intentional about understanding what the needs of this unique community might look like. And so we've done that kind of internal reflection around what is it that makes Mariners Mariners, and that we continue to keep top of mind as we make a lot of decisions with students and even since then. Now, I want to add that the process is established. Every little step along the way, every decision, I want to make sure everyone understands that we're going to be very intentional about everything. And we have the benefit of actually doing two recent searches for pastoral positions. So we've even had a refresher on what works in the process and how do we make sure we transition well, how do we bring people in, how do we help people change roles. So I just want you to know that that's something that we care very much about. And Paul cares a lot about, and the steering team cares a lot about, and the search committee cares about. So we're going to be very intentional. That being said, we want to make sure that the dialogue is always there. That's why we have this Q&A. We have the channels open to reach out to anybody to speak with any concerns you might have. So hopefully that answers your question.
Just follow up. Yeah. I can talk about it. So the definition of the culture, I mean, I assume that encompasses things in our culture which you think are lacking. Is defining what's lacking going to be part of this process so we can rectify that in the future? I'm not saying there is any problem. I'm just wondering if that's part of the decision-making process.
So the approach we would want to take to culture, and this is part of the work I do professionally, is that we want to always move toward what we want to be. Because if we really look at what are we lacking, what are the problems, what are the deficits, we're never going to be done. You know, we're just going to potentially create new problems even. So we want to set the conditions where we can be the best culture, the best church, best home, spiritual home people.
One of the, yeah, thank you, Karen, and thank you, Jeff, for that. One of the, as we're speaking to one of the guys, the guy from Venture Churches, he was just involved in a church in Pacific Grove or Monterey, bringing somebody in. And the when you think of culture, you think of more personality. A lot of personality is another phrase. He showed up to preach in this church in a suit, you know, in a suit. And it was somewhat of a casual church like us. And so everyone kind of liked him. And he said, but the question then was asked. He asked the guy, he said, do you always preach in a suit? And his response was, well, God deserves our best clothing on Sunday morning. You know? And it's like, okay, you know, all right. Well, he said, you know, because this is culture here is more casual. Well, they invited him to come back and preach a couple weeks later. And guess what he wore? A suit. Yeah. Again, after having understood that the culture here is not that, basically what he was going to do is he was going to shape the culture into something that it wasn't, or he was going to stand firm. And so we need to understand who we are, particularly as a missional church, meaning we exist for those that aren't here yet. I mean, that's one of the main reasons we're here. Somebody comes in from the coast side, and the coast side is really casual, you know? It's really casual. I mean, look at you guys. You look like slobs. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying. No, you don't. You don't. You don't. You don't. You don't. I'm just teasing that. But you can come in as you are, you know? And I like that, and I want that. And if somebody tries to change that, or if you bring in a friend, and the guy's up here in a three-piece suit, they're going to say, not for me. And so that's why I try and dress like, if you were to invite your friend and they were to show up, or somebody off the street that's hurting shows up, you know, they will say, I can relate to these people. So, and that's part of, that's one aspect of our culture. It's informal, and we want to make sure that that person maintains that. Other questions? Yeah, Mike, way back there. Thank you. And a lot of that is really, again, most of what I do, and Matt, is Matt here, Matt Lakeza, very intentional. I unfortunately, and this is what exhausts me, I think through everything, like, why do I speak from the floor now to bring myself down so that we're communicating? Why do I say I'm one of the pastors here? You know, that's important that I communicate that to you, that I am just like you. My spiritual gift is pastoring, but that doesn't mean I'm high and lifted up or anything like that. That's part of the culture here, you know. That's part of, and to now the next pastor will modify the culture, but if they are radically different, you're going to be looking for somebody. We're going to be looking for somebody else in another year, you know. So it'll torpedo. But thank you. That's part of this whole process, and that's part of what we've had to become, and had to be in order to reach your friends and your neighbors for Christ. So when people come in. They say, I like this place, I can interact here, I feel comfortable here, this is accessible to me. The language I use, you know, is I actually, don't take this wrong, I go through the message and I change words to dumb it down, not because you guys are dumb people, but I figure if you bring your sixth grader here, they will understand what I'm going to say. I use very non-technical words on purpose, and that's just the reason we do that. There's also going to be a question there should be a question on, not only do they have to fit culturally, they have to fit theologically here, and I can do a lot of work on that, okay, because there's a broad spectrum of that which is called Christian, and so know that, and those of you that know what I'm talking about. We are only going to be drawing from certain seminaries. If they have an issue with the Bible or the authority of the Bible, they're not going to make it through the first filter, not a bit, okay? That's just not going to happen. And so those of you that might be worried about, oh no, what if we get a pastor that doesn't believe in the Bible or doesn't really believe in heaven or everybody goes to heaven without Jesus, it's not going to happen. Okay, it will not happen. That's part of my job, is to screen that, and your job as well on that one. So you don't have to worry about a theological bend coming at all on this one. And it's not as hard as you think it is. Some people say, oh, no, what about this? What about this? And they might have a little bit different view on, you know, I don't know, the millennium, or maybe a little bit harder on this than I would be, or softer on this. But it's not going to be any major great veering off in one direction or the other. It just can't happen. It won't happen. Yeah.
Paul,
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been coming about a year and a half, and so do we have to become part of congregation? Do we need to have a membership card, vote, pay our union dues, so we can vote? So my question is, if I'm going to have any vote in this, do I need
You can give your dues directly to me. Thank you, Louis. That's a good question. I'm always talking about my weaknesses. I am not an organizational person. I'm really bad at organization. And we do actually have a membership process. We tend to not be really strict about it. And that's going to come back and bite us, and it's going to probably come back and bite us now on this one. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to say you're all members. If you come here more than a year and you're baptized and believe in Jesus, you know, we could do it that way. And that might be the easiest way to do it. That's a process we may have to be going through in the next few months, just to clarify, because of this situation. But yeah, we'll make sure we don't send you the letter about that. So I'm really sorry. No, yes. Yeah.
You might not be pastoring the church,
right,
or
right.
Be attending, since there's a lot of people who trust you and
Yeah. Thank you. The question will always still be around here to spiritually help advise. It's going to be touchy on this one, because church dynamics. There's the church body, which, you know, I love it, and then there's church organization, which is a real hassle for me, Louis. That's kind of why your question is, and somebody comes in to lead an organization, and I've been here for 37 years. I mean, that feels like a big bear breathing down his neck, you know, and so I will have to really work well with him to understand my initial role in this place. I will never, ever, I'm not sure, circumvent or go around or usurp his authority or even his official pastoring role. I'll never do that. That's just not good for the church, and it's not good for him, and you have to have confidence in him. You know, here's the body part of it. I believe a church is a pastor is a spiritual gift. Just like the gift of giving is, the gift of helps, the gift of serving, it's a spiritual gift. Not only is it an office in the church, but it's also a spiritual gift. I love more than anything else to help people grow in their faith and grow in their life in Christ. I mean, that's what I do. And so my thought would be, yeah, I'd love to meet with people, only under his authority, though. Okay, I will submit to his authority, because submission is a... is highly regarded in Scripture, and so that would be my goal. The answer is yes, with his permission on this one. If a pastor gets too territorial, you know, we're going to try and screen for that as well, you know, because I really believe life groups are so critical in the church. Pastoring happens in life groups as well. So he is going to have to say, not everyone comes to me. They may go to my life group leaders. And that's awesome. That's better. But the answer is yeah. Does that answer your question enough? So yeah, I'm still here. Yeah. Kenji and Lisa. I'm sorry, you've been waiting. Yeah.
You mentioned the vote, and I'm wondering, do you envision it being a yay or nay on one person,
mm-hmm.
or a
yeah.
choice of people?
It's a yay or nay on one person. It would be really tough to get three people up there, and. Yeah, it's going to be one person. We're gonna with all these other teams that are meeting and interviewing, we're gonna eventually settle on, hopefully, who we think is the one. You know, we really think this person is. And I've been watching. I see other churches. When you get to that point, it's usually pretty much almost a slam dunk. But there's going to be a lot of your quote emotional voting or your social voting. Ahead of time, you know, you guys take them out for dinner, and you know, you tell the team, well, it was okay until you know, he tipped 2%, you know, and complained about the service and complained about the waitress and never talked to the staff ever, you know. That was a real off-put. And if we get that feedback from you guys, you know, we're going to say, okay, there's an issue going on here. They don't interact with people, you know. So yeah, there's that kind of a thing too. But we're not going to be doing a panel of three and all that. No. In the back, yeah.
Paul, can you talk about the ideal timeline and any factors that might accelerate or delay that type of thing?
My death, I guess, would accelerate it. I'm only saying that because I had those issues. Thank you, Kenji. Yeah, the ideal timeline. I would like to finish out the year, if possible. Okay, so we're giving this thing a long runway for you guys to get to work out. So I would love to finish out the year. If a person has to, for some circumstances or reason, you need to be here in the late fall, you know, that's okay. If I have to trickle into 2026, I'm not dead, you know, so I can do it. I just do realize I'm. You use that term. What was that term? You know,
exponential.
Yeah. There is. I hate to say this, but there's exponential decline. You know, and I didn't think it would happen. I thought, you know, you just kind of it's going and it's exponential, meaning it's getting steeper and steeper on the amount of stress I can handle. You know, is getting less, and the amount of problem solving I can do. I don't have the capacity anymore. I told you, and this was what precipitated this whole thing. Saturday night, it was a Saturday night, and I hated the message. I hated the message, which is not uncommon, you know. But I sat down to look at it again to try and change it. I couldn't do it. Emotionally, I couldn't do it. And so, to be perfectly honest, I said to Lisa, what's a panic attack feel like? You know, because I'm maybe having one, you know. And normally in the past, I could reach to my reserve tank, you know, and my reserve tank was empty. Not only was it empty, it was gone. You know, I just didn't have it, and I didn't sleep much at all that night. And the stress that was going on, I felt like this is not healthy for me. I've never been in this position. I've never had it before. And then on Monday, two families sent me an email and said we're leaving the church. And that's a gut punch for any pastor, you know. It's the worst. You can't think of anything worse, really. But these were people we were really close to, we loved. And I just remember thinking, I can't do this anymore. And understand, she's not here. You have to understand what it does to a pastor's wife, okay? Because I can actually fight back and get mad or meet with the people and find out she can't. You know, and Lisa has been the hero in all of this, as she's carried this thing, me through all of this. I don't have the reserves, you know, anymore. So I can keep going, you know, with whatever that word was again. Why, for some reason, I can't, you know, it's a decline, you know. And so what we've concluded is, as I tried and started ministries this year, Thrive had a huge rollout. Didn't happen because I can't do it. You know, we don't have the staffing. I don't have the ability to do it. It's just, and this is what led me to say, I can't keep this thing going. What could happen, you know, and what I can make happen with God, you know, the gap is too big now. And the ministry here and the unreached for Christ here are too important for me just to get a paycheck and to hang out till I'm 70 where I optimize everything, you know, and financially I'm good. It just can't happen. It just can't happen. So, yeah. Yes. There's a question. Yeah, Sandra.
I'm kind of a newbie, a couple of years here, and a couple of times I've been, you know, in churches, like on staff even, and so I'm sitting here and I'm looking and going, what does this mean for Matt and Lakeisha and the church as well?
Ooh, that's a really good question. And when they came on in July, I think, July, August, I told them I have no plans to be leaving, because that's a legitimate question for them when an old guy hires you, you know. It's like, and I had honestly to them. I had no intention. I had every intention of staying until 70 if I could, you know. And so this was kind of a new surprise, but I'm realizing this is the right decision. I don't know, you know, and I've told them that, you know. I would like them to have, you know, contract. I mean, they're to stay on, you know, as long as they can. And sometimes you can negotiate that kind of thing with a new pastor. God's got you guys. I know you know that. I know your faith, you know, and I know your trust. And so I would say that may be condition, you know, a condition. Sometimes pastors come in. A wise pastor will come in and not do fruit basket upset, you know, and they won't throw everything around if they're wise on that one, and that may be a condition. We're going to have to see as we go through more, as we go farther on. Is that fair, Zandra? Yeah. Yeah, you could tip. I mean, don't tippy toe. You could ask them how you're doing, you know, because I think they need people to ask them that question. And they're great people. They'll just say, I'm scared or I'm nervous or who knows. I mean, Lakeisha and I talked about this on Thursday, you know. She said, what if the new pastor isn't? Because I asked her, how are you doing with this? And she said, what if the new pastor isn't as good looking as you? And I just didn't know what to say. So. No, she did ask the question, and it's a legitimate question, and it is, and so understand you have two pastors here that are facing, I think, certainty with God, but uh-oh, you know, what's that going to mean? But we'd love to have it. So that's as fair as I can get with you guys, and I'd say, you know, keep them on, but yeah.
Hi, Paul.
Austin, hey.
Yeah. So we have been here.
Yeah.
So one question I had is in the business world we come from, you know, the interview processes are like, it's a real process.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can check backgrounds, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Generally, for a person who's coming into this community, even a one-day trip or five golfing trips or dinners. And
all, yeah, yeah.
Is there a process in this world where they do check people's background, they even go visit the community they're serving and go observe incognito how things are going? Because person can just come, just like interviews in business can be as the way. Is that the process?
Yes. Yeah, they'll be vetted thoroughly. In fact, the best way to actually see a creature is in their own habitat. So we want to. They come here, and you can play. We've had them come here, and they've played great game for a week or 4 or 5 days. The best thing is to go see where they're at and see them there live, you know. The answer is yes. Vetting will be critical. Background checks, absolute. References, you know, references of references, you know, if we can get those. Those are all very, 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 very important.
Hey,
yeah, Marty, hey.
So you talked about
yeah.
Theological qualifications.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a CEO. I mean, that's, you are like a CEO in any company where you've got marketing.
Sales, yeah,
all
yeah.
of that. What sort of operational qualifications are you going to be looking for?
We would love to have, I don't know, maybe there's somebody else that could answer that question better. Brenna, do you want to tackle that one?
We are getting together on, the team is getting together on January 26th to kind of go over what type of operational qualities that we'll be looking for, our background and experience, and what we need, and where we're going, and I can get back to you on that, but definitely, Paul is the CEO, and we will be looking for somebody who has a myriad of different skills, skill set of being able to run the church, manage the staff, reach out
I'm there with you, Paul. I'm the same age.
I know. Yeah.
But at the same time, you've carried the burden of a myriad of different responsibilities.
Yeah.
And you're bringing in somebody with the same sort of responsibility. Is there any concern that that individual could there be a burnout sort of?
Yeah. Yeah, please. Please.
Okay, let me just start by saying, like all of us, pastors can't do everything. And when it comes to job searches, there's a lot of wish lists. We want to look for a unicorn, but we have to understand that we have to prioritize what this church needs the most. So even looking at their current habitat, completely different context. So we're going to be leading first with the needs of this particular community, and we need somebody who can lead us to the next phase in the life of this church. You asked about operational. Yes, they have to be able to operate their way out of a box, but we should not expect a pastor to do everything. That's what we're here for. And so I just wanted to make sure that I clarified that we are going to balance. There's going to be a lot of requirements we're going to be looking at, but we're going to have to also prioritize and understand that we don't want the next pastor to burn out. We don't want that to happen. We have to be in it together with them. So hopefully that helps.
I'll say something quick too. I'm Jason. We've been here for about 11 or so years. There's not a perfect candidate. The perfect candidate does not exist. Paul has to manage a team, so he's a boss. He has to organize programs and get things going, so he has to have organizational skills. He has to have pastoral skills to meet with people. He has to have empathy and be able to relate to people. He has so many different things that he has to perform successfully. And can he do all of them? No. We're looking for somebody who can do the best that we need, do their best, and hopefully it'll meet our needs. But the perfect candidate does not exist. If there's somebody that can organize at the optimal level, has the utmost empathy to meet and understand your needs, make you feel heard with and respond with scriptural doctrine that is going to be supportive and emotionally connective and all that, and all these other things, that perfect person is already at. They're earning $700,000 doing stuff or someplace else. We have to be realistic in our expectations. We're looking for a human who has the bandwidth as a runway to perform at their optimal level, and we have to try and figure out who the best candidate is to meet our needs. Like Karen said, carry us to the next level. So there are going to be weaknesses in every candidate that we see, and we're going to have to be able to accept that the best person is going to have to take this job, and they're not going to be the perfect person. It's not going to be easy, but we'll do this well.
Yeah.
And what Karen just said is, we have to step in and fill gaps. We have to be the body that makes this place work, and we have to find the best complement of skills and heart and spirit, and we can do it. We'll do it. But there's a lot of uncertainty along the way.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, exactly what Jason said, and I just wanted to throw in, Paul made mention of this earlier, but we have a consultant that Paul knows very well. We have someone who is going to help take us through this process and go through the checks and balances of, is this the right candidate? And so we're not doing this all alone either.
Yeah.
Highly skilled.
Yeah, I was just saying, as they were talking over there, I just thought, I'm so glad they're on the team, you know, because, you know, Peter.
I'm Peter. I've been part of the church for quite a while. I think one of the things we also really have to keep in mind is God is really God.
Yeah.
Life is changing. And, you know, when I first came to marriage, Clarice and I, our life needed change, and we found it here.
Mm-hmm. He's thinking about us and what we need in the church. And God knows. God's got the right person. Much as I'd love to clone Paul.
No.
It won't be. It just isn't going to be. Mm-hmm. There's the right person. And we'll find them.
That's sweet. Thank you. Yeah. Lynn.
Sort of goes without saying that you're going to be looking for, you know, what the future of the church is and the future people that are going to come, and what's going on on the coast side, like, what's the population like? Is there a lot more younger people coming to the coast side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of us here have been here a long time, but there's new people.
Yeah.
Younger people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that we need to, look to see what's going to draw
them. Yeah, we do.
In here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And someone that has energy will be able to, perceive that and see that and then begin to create a ministry that would work well with that. So yeah. So it's a lot of visioning things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe I'll just say one small thing.
Yeah.
One of the things, and this is just that God is really going to direct us in this, and we're just called to do what we know what to do. But I'll share a little story that was kind of amazing to me. And Brenna and Paul were looking for a transition group that would help our church transition to a new pastor. And they've done this kind of thing before, like you mentioned, in Monterey and other locations. And they've done this for a long time. And we briefly met with someone on a Zoom call. And after the call, the person's name, the primary person was Dave. And after the call, we were just talking about the meeting. And Paul said, I talked with Dave just last week. And he hadn't realized he was going to be in charge. He was running this transition for this group. And he said, if there was someone who I would have thought could do this well, it's Dave. And so out of the blue, through a connection to Brenna that hadn't really been planned for, seemed like God opened doors to have actually the very person that Paul would have liked to do show up and be available on the other side of that call without a group. And so I was just really amazed by that. It's kind of fun to see God work sometimes.
Anybody else?
Yeah,
Jason.
Yeah, I just wanted
to say, Kevin. If he gets annoying, we can't cut him off. That's the problem. He's up in the cellar. Yeah, theologically, I know, that's a great question, and it's actually relevant in today's society on this one. This is where there is a lot of theological debate and biblical debate going on here, and so everyone lands at a certain point, at a certain spot. My personal theology is I have no problem with a woman being a pastor. I do, because of some passages in Scripture, am challenged if a woman were the lead pastor, okay? That's where I end up on this one. I have no problem with, Lakeisha. I call her Pastor Lakeisha on this one. And I find you hold to me. You hold the same value I do on this one. I do have personal theological issues with a woman being the head or the lead pastor of a church. I do. So that is me. I would assume our association, I don't know, they wouldn't kick us out. They would probably, they might, who knows? I don't know, I don't care. But I personally, biblically and theologically, disagree with a woman being the lead pastor, okay? As you know, Karen Brenna, Keisha back there, I certainly have a lot of, I've involved a lot of of women in ministry here. I think more than a lot of churches in our association, and God's gifted them very well. I've been blessed by them, but for me, I just feel like there should be a submission issue here on this one. You're going to respond. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Rana.
It's actually in our bylaws that our lead pastor, our head pastor, will be a male.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. Well, there it goes. So it says it. So there it goes. So on that one. Yeah, but Kevin, that's a good question. And again, it's a debatable one, particularly today. It's just where I'm going to land, you know, for me. Other question? Yeah, Mark.
So that was interesting learning for me after 10 years of being here at the church in terms of the instructions of how the church feels about certain decisions. And that's a whole other round of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been involved in churches in the past where we transition between pastors.
Yeah.
And part of what they do, in addition to looking for a new pastor, they go through a process of operational transition. So the things that have to happen to keep the church running and so forth, is that going to be part of what you guys are doing with this? I don't know who to ask this question to. Is that part of what's going to be going on with this consultant that you're bringing in to talk about how do we keep things moving, how to expand services? That was it.
Don't ask me. Operations is not good. How do I answer that one, Brenna? Yeah.
And I know there's a lot more stuff that goes on than that. I mean, I think that being on the worship team is the least I could do to be part of the church. And I mean, I'm right, it may be, you know, there could be something else I could be doing. But just who's going to make sure that all those activities happen? And it should be volunteers. But volunteers to come for.
Well, Lakeisha and Matt will be in charge of making sure that the programs happen and the church moves forward as far as family ministries. And as Paul said, he is going to be here in capacity to maintain and make sure.
Yeah, if you've ever seen a relay race where they pass the baton, you know, the person that's running, as they're getting slower and slower, the other person has to start running with them, you know, and then there's a seamless handoff of the baton. So you start to run, and so this next person will be starting to run while I'm catching up to them, and it should be hopefully, Lord willing, a seamless handoff on this one. And if I have to stick around a little bit longer to help with operations, I'm fine with that. I'm not a great operations guy, but I do know the ins and outs of it. So the answer is we're going to make it as simple, easy, smooth a transition as entirely possible. So I do not have a drop-dead cutoff time. So that's not going to be all of a sudden, uh-oh, what happened here? You know, yeah. Anything else? Anybody else? Well, good. I'm glad. I hope. Yeah, let me just wrap up if that's okay on this one. This is something to pray about. The person that is going to be coming here to be our pastor, my pastor, doesn't know it yet. You know, think about that. They don't know it yet, and God is doing multiple things to prepare that person for this place that they don't even know why. They don't know why. Right now, they might be feeling like it's time for me to leave, and I don't know why. You know, I'm not even sure what's going on here. Or they may be saying the philosophy of ministry of that church isn't missional enough. I want to go to a place where it's more challenging to reach people for Jesus. You know, and I don't know why that. Where's that coming from? That's happening right now, and so we're going to pray for that person right now. Okay, and for us. So. Pray with me, Lord Jesus, thank you for your plan of salvation and the plan of the cross that saves people, and the people here on the coast need to know that, to have that full life that you want them to have. We pray for the person, God, that you have come here. Whatever their thoughts are right now, Lord, that they would be moving towards this place, and bless them and their family. Bless this process. Give us wisdom, agreement, unity, godliness in this whole thing, Lord. And we trust you and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys. This was a lot bigger and longer than I thought it would be. There you go. So enjoy the day. Enjoy the day and be praying. Just be praying. So thanks, you guys. Love you.